All right, if you take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 12. Romans, chapter number 12. We're in the practical application area of this scripture. Paul presents doctrines and then he tries to share how to the practical application of that in our lives. Last week we looked at the matter of presenting our bodies a living sacrifice there found in verse number 1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we talked about how God wants us to present ourselves holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and not holding anything back. And we're supposed to be presented holy, H-O-L-Y, to Him, set apart unto Him. And it's just reasonable for us to want to serve the Lord for what He's done for us. And we talked about the many mercies of God, and we just scratched the surface on the mercies, okay? We didn't handle them all. There's no way in the world that you can handle all the mercies of God. And this week, we want to examine the first part of verse number 2. At least we're going to begin. We'll see how far we get with this. But it talks there in verse number 2 and says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. Now the word conform means to fashion alike. That is to be pressed into the same pattern, and pressed into the same mold. A lot of you ladies, when you cook, especially at Christmas time, you have cookie cutters molded. Or sometimes you were trying to make something for a party, you'll put a cake in a mold or a jello in a mold to make it look real pretty. You want it to be in the shape of the mold that you have there. Well, this scripture is telling us we're not to be pressed into the mold of the world. A Christian is not to look like the world. They're not to act like the world. They're not to be a part of the world. And kind of like what is said in 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I'm going to have you turn to a lot of scripture tonight. And I never apologize for that, because we preach the Word of God around here. And I want you to see what thus saith the Lord. So if you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we see here Peter's talking about the same idea here. 1 Peter 1 verse number 14. And we're going to read down through verse number 16. He talks in verse number 13 about girding up the loins of your mind. And of course, girding up the loins of your mind means don't be a sloppy thinker. That's what he's talking about there. We need to be careful about our sloppy thinking. We talked about this morning about the things that we're to think about. And we're going to be talking about a little bit more about that a little bit later in this message. But he said, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then verse 14 is where we want to get at. And he says here, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. I say that's not being conformed is what that is. It says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or manner of living. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So we're to be obedient children. And if we're obedient children, that means that we're not going to be fashioning ourselves according to our former lust. And our former lust lined right up with the world, didn't it? The world, the flesh, and the devil, what they would have for us. We're not to be pressed into that mold. We were cut out of that mold, but listen, we've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we're to have a new life. We have a new life, and we're to live that new life, not live in the past. And as He which has called us is holy, we're to be holy in our living, because God's holy, we're to be holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, we as Christians are not to be shaped by this world. Number one, I want you to see, and there's 10 of these things I want to share with you. And I don't know if I got time to share them all tonight or not. If not, we'll put up a stake and we'll come back and we'll finish it up another time. But there are 10 of them, and we want to take a look. First of all, I want you to see that as Christians, our master is to be different. We're supposed to have a different master. We're supposed to have a different master. There's supposed to be somebody different calling the shots in our life. You know, it's not our flesh, it's not the way we feel that we call our lives by anymore. It's not according to the devil or his desires in our life. It's not according to the world, what the world wants to see you live. You know, a lot of times today, there's a lot of folks that want to just fit in, and so they'll live their lives a certain way just so they can fit in and feel like they fit into society. Listen, if you're a child of God, you're not supposed to fit in. You don't fit in with the world. Our master is to be different. Jesus Christ is supposed to be calling the shots in our life. Romans 6, verse 13 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey?" Listen, we were the servants of sin, but we're no longer the servants of sin. We may have at one time served the devil, but we're no longer to serve the devil. We're to be servants of Christ. And John chapter 13, verse 13, Jesus said, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so am I." And that's the way it's supposed to be. But there was another group that he talked to, and you ought to mark this verse in your scripture if it's not marked. But look at Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. As Jesus confronted some of his disciples here, some of the folks who claimed that they were walking with God, and they were walking with Him, but He was calling them to task here. And Luke 6:46, and a very, very daunting question for us, a very, very important question for us to ask. I mean, which of us in here tonight, I dare say that all of us would say that Jesus is Lord. Amen? Jesus is Lord. Well, look at what Jesus says. He says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Listen, when we call Jesus Lord, we're saying that He is the master of our lives. We're saying that He has the right to call the shots. It's more than just a title. Some folks say, "Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ," just like my name's Jerry Nelson Thrower. You know, I've got three names, and Jesus has Lord Jesus Christ. Nope, that's not it. Lord is a title. It's not a name. It is who He is. He is the one that calls the shots in our life. He is Lord and Master, as He said in John 13:13. So our Master is to be different. We're not to have the same Master that we once had. And not only that, our mentality or our mindset is to be different. Romans 12:2 there says, Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now we'll get more into that a little bit later, but our minds are to be transformed through this renewing process. It's not to be the same mindset that we had before we got saved. In fact, look at Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, and we see Paul saying this very thing to the Ephesians Christians here in Ephesians chapter number 4. He's talking to the church here. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 17. Look at what he says here in these three verses. Ephesians 4, verse 17. He says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord." Okay, this is not coming from Paul. This is coming from the Lord. He's testifying in the Lord. He said, "That ye henceforth," in other words, from this day forward, "that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." That word vanity there is talking about their depravity, that old mindset, that old depraved mind that folks that are not saved walk in. We're not to walk in that. So don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity or depravity of their mind. Verse 18, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Listen, there's a reason why they walk that way. They walk that way because they're in darkness. But listen, we're not in darkness anymore. We're in light, and so therefore, and we'll see it here in a minute in Ephesians 5, that we're to walk as children of light. But look what he says there. You know, that word blindness is talking about how Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not. He's made them callous. He's made them hardened to the gospel, hardened to the things of God. And verse number 19 says, "Who being past feeling," there's that callousness right there. You know, when you develop calluses on your finger, if you're out doing some work with a shovel or a rake and you develop calluses, you know those calluses, you can't feel anything. You can stick a needle in them all day long, you're not going to feel it. It's past feeling. Well, that's what he's talking about, who being past feeling is calloused, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And so that's the way that we walked in time past. When we were Gentiles without Christ, when we did not have God in our heart, but now listen, we're now saved by God's grace, and we're to walk a different way. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 1 there. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And look at what he says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." You're not to be a co-participant in those things. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Listen, my friend, our mentality or our mindset is to be different because we are different. We're walking in a different kingdom now. We did once walked in the kingdom of the world, and physically we may still be walking in the world, but as far as God is seeing, we're walking in His kingdom. We're walking in His light, and we're to be and live as children of light. And Romans chapter number 13, which we haven't got to, but there's a verse number 4 there, and I'll have you turn there because we'll be studying it later. But let me just quote it to you. It says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Why? Because we're to have a different mentality. We're to have a different mindset. We're not about fulfilling our lust anymore. We're about fulfilling the will of God in our lives. That's what our purpose is supposed to be now that we're saved. And so our master is to be different. Number two, our mentality or our mindset is to be different. And then number three, I want you to see that our makeup is to be different. Now, I'm not talking about what you ladies, the paint you ladies put on your face. I'm not talking about that, you know. Every old barn needs some good paint on it. Amen, gentlemen. I'm not preaching against makeup, but I'll pay for that one. I'll pay for that one, won't I? Yeah, quit preaching and go on to meddling. All right. our makeup is to be different. What am I talking about? By makeup, I'm talking about our character. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We've got a new character. Our makeup is different. Not only that, by makeup I mean our composition, what we're made of. Look at Ephesians 4. Look there in your Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 22. He says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation," or that former behavior of the old man, "which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed." There's that word renewed that we're going to be looking at. We're supposed to have our minds renewed. And he talks about here, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." That's what we are to be made of. We're to be living our life after the new man, not after the old man. Our composition is different. By makeup, I mean our disposition. Our disposition is to be different. Look at Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 12 through 14. Colossians 3 and verse number 12. He says, "They are put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." You know, those things that he just talked about there, that doesn't come naturally, does it? It comes because of God in your life. Our disposition changes when we get saved. We're able to, by God's grace, we're able to have bowels of mercies. We're able to have kindness. We're able to have the humbleness of mind and the meekness and the long-suffering. We're able to put up with one another. That's what that word forbear means, and forgive one another. And we're able to, if we have a quarrel with somebody, we are able to forgive, just like Christ forgave us. And then look at verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity. That's that agape love. That's that love of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, which he says is the bond of perfectness. Now listen, our makeup is different. Before we came to know our Lord, we didn't know what love was all about. But now we have the ability to love with Christ's love because of the love that He's had for us. And by makeup, we're talking about our character, our composition, our disposition, but we're also talking about our conversation. Our conversation, our speech is supposed to be different. Look at Colossians 3 there and verse number 8. He says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." See, our conversation changes. Look back at Ephesians 4. Look back at Ephesians 4 again and look at verse number 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Look at 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." See, our makeup changes, our character changes, our composition, our disposition, and our conversation must change after we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four thing I want you to see is our meditation is to be different. Now, we dwell a little bit on this morning in the sermon this morning, so I'm not going to belabor the point. I shared with you what Philippians 4, verse 8 says. We're to think on things that are true. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And it's the bad thinking that leads to bad deeds in people's lives. And we as Christians, if we want to live our life right, we must dwell upon the right kind of things in our thought life. Psalm 19, verse 14, I shared that this morning also. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Look at Luke chapter number 6, though, and verse 45. We didn't look at that this morning, but I want you to see Luke 6, 45, and then we'll move on to the next one. Luke 6 and verse number 45, and this is a good one to mark in your Scripture. Luke 6 and verse number 45, it says here, in fact, let's back up to verse number 44, because he says, "For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes." Look at this in verse 45, what he says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Listen, before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, our hearts were full of evil. We had nothing but evil treasure. But now that we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, we're not only to renew our minds, but we're to fill our hearts with that good treasure, so that out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. Anybody that said there's mouth that's all the time spewing slander and gossip and something, you've got to wonder what they're dwelling upon. You've got to wonder what is going on in the heart there. There's a heart problem is what it is. It's not a problem with the mind. It's not a problem with anything other than the heart. Out of the heart, those things come. Our meditation is to be different. I want you to see number five, our methods are to be different. Our methods are not to be what they were before. We don't become like the world to try to win the world. We don't continue being like the world so that we can win the world. No, my friend. We say, hey, look, you know, the Lord and His life is over here. Come over here. Let me show you how good it can be. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 1, and we'll turn after that to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 12. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 12. And he says here, he says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you." He's talking about, you know, we have our methods are different. It's because of what God, the grace of God working in our life. It's not according to fleshly wisdom. It's not that old way. It's not that old path of thinking. It's a new wisdom. It's the wisdom that God gives that we have our conversation. It used to be in the world, but now, my friend, it's not of the world. It is Godward. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 1 and 2. He says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry," he's talking about the gospel ministry, "as we have received mercy," and all of us have received mercy, he says, "we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty." Why? Because that's the way the world works. The world deceives. The world walks in dishonesty. He said, "We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Listen, we're to be people of truth. We're to speak the truth. We're to live the truth. Our everything as children of God is to be wrapped up in the truth. Our methods are to be different. The world, they go about trying to deceive people. Listen, I'm not going to try to deceive anybody to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to share the truth of the gospel with them and tell them just like it is and pray that they come to know God. Neither am I going to take and deceive God's people by saying, well, you just live any way you want to live and everything's going to be hunky-dory. That's not the truth. That is deceit. I want to bring you the truth, what God's Word says. Our methods are different. And you're to live for God because God has changed your life. Look at 1 Thessalonians, excuse me, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And here we want to begin reading verse number 2. We'll begin reading verse number 1. We'll read the first 6 verses here. I want you to see this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And we'll begin reading, if I got the right place here. Maybe I want 2 Thessalonians. Let me see where I'm at here. Yeah, it's verse 3. I've got it written down as verse 2, but it's verse 3 where we begin. But let me read verses 1 and 2 here. It says, For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, he said, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. In other words, there was a lot of contention going on about them preaching the gospel of God, yet they preached it anyway. Look at verse 3. Note this. He says, for our exhortation was not of deceit, okay, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ.
Did you see what he says there? He exhorted. Not his exhortation was not of deceit. He wasn't trying to fool them, trick them into something. No, my friend, it was not in uncleanness. It was not in the things of this world or in guile. But it was the truth of God. They were allowed to be put in trust with the gospel, just as you and I have been allowed by God to be put in trust with the gospel that we have, and we're to speak that truth of the gospel that has been given to us, not trying to please men, but trying to please God with what we do. So our methods are to be different. We're not trying to please the world. We're trying to please God. Number six, and I can't stop, okay? Our motives are to be different. Our motives are to be different. John chapter number 6 and verse number 27, Jesus said, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth." In other words, you know, he's saying, don't look for monetary gain. Monetary gain can be a motive. I know some preachers who, you know, they make a pretty good living doing what they do in some big highfalutin churches, and they're afraid to preach the truth because they're afraid they'll lose their position, and in losing their position, they will lose their money. I never preach to folks' pocketbooks. Never have, and never intend to do that very thing. I've had people come up to me in church before and said, "Preacher, if you don't stop preaching like that, these people are going to leave the church, and I want you to understand how much they give to the church." Listen, I've been called to preach the truth. And it doesn't matter who at Hare Lips at all. I'm going to preach the truth, and the consequences, I'll just deal with the consequences, okay? Look at Acts chapter number 20. Acts 20, and understand that fear can be a motive. And there are a lot of fellows who are standing behind the pulpits today who live their lives in fear of being able to preach God's truth and being able to handle things in a Bible way because they're scared of somebody, they're scared of someone who's going to have a problem with it. But listen, fear can be a motive, but fear is not to be our motive. Acts chapter number 20, and look at verse number 22. Paul said here, he says, "And now I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." And he says here, "not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Now, how many of you want to get on that train and go today? You know? We wouldn't have any takers, would we? You know, if you're going to have bonds and afflictions wherever you go. But look at what he says in verse 24. He says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am purer from the blood of all men." Why? Because he didn't allow the fear to move him. He spoke the truth wherever he went. He spoke the truth of God so that he might finish his course with joy. What he received of God, that's what he gave. Listen, what are some of the motives that the world has? Well, the world has a motive of wanting power, or the lust in their life, or greed, or envy, or jealousy, or hatred, or pride, and we could add more and more to that list. Listen, those are the motives of the world, but our motives are to be the motives of God, the motives of love and truth, sharing the truth of God and the love of God, and leaving the results to God, even if it may be contrary to our lives. To the comfort of our lives. Number seven. Not only our motives are to be different, but our morals are to be different. We're to have different morals than the world. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. "We as the children of God are not to live with the same moral indecency and moral unrestraint as this world." And that's what we read over there in Ephesians 5 a while ago. He said, "Be not partakers with them." He said, don't let it be named among you as become a saint. But look at what he says here in 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And look at this. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He's saying it's not right for me to go and live the life that I once lived in the times past. I'm to leave that stuff behind. We're not to be like the world. Our morals are to be different. My morals are not to be the same as before I got saved. I'm to now manifest the life of God. Look at Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. And verse number 19. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 19. He says here, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." What does the flesh produce? Well, he's fixing to tell you right here. He says, "And the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, that comes from the flesh; fornication, flesh; uncleanness, lasciviousness; idolatry, witchcraft; hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." In other words, friend, there's a long list there, and I dare say that probably in the lives of most of us tonight, we can find something in that list that we need to get rid out of our lives. Amen? I mean, I'm telling you right now, it's so easy to live our life according to the flesh, but it's not supposed to be that way. He says, "Endings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the spirit of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." He's saying there, we're not to live as we lived once in times past. Our morals are to be different. We're not to walk according to the flesh. It's not expedient for us to do so. We're to walk according to the Spirit. Walk in the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what he says up in verse number 16. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And he talks about how the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And we know, understand that battle that we have with the flesh and the Spirit. And so we see that our morals are to be different. Number eight thing is our modesty is to be different. Our modesty is to be different. 1 Timothy 2, verse number 9 and 10. Look at 1 Timothy 2. You know, our modesty is not, we're not to dress like the world. You know, the world dresses immodestly. But that's not to be our realm as believers. We're to dress the way it would be pleasing with God. You say, but it's not popular, preacher. You know, are we supposed to look drab? And well, I'm not saying that you can't wear nice things, but I'm saying that you're supposed to cover up. And I'm saying that you're supposed to be modest. It says here and very clear in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 9 and 10, it says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness." Have a little shame about you, okay? And you say, "I wouldn't wear that. I'd be embarrassed to wear something like that." But that's what shamefacedness is about. And sobriety, talking about being sober. Think about what you're doing when you wear something that when you don't adorn yourself with modest apparel. And sobriety, with not with broidered hair, gold, or pearls of costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. We're to be adorn ourselves, men and women, okay? We're to adorn ourselves with good works. That's to be the adornment that we're to have. Our modesty is to be different. You'll not find nakedness used in a good context in the Bible after man sinned in the Garden of Eden. I mean, the first context was that the man and his wife were naked, and they didn't know they were naked. They were naked, but they didn't know about it until sin entered in. And after that, you will not find nakedness used in a good context. God intends for nakedness to be covered outside of the personal, private, intimate, marital relationship. Bottom line, not afraid to say it, glad I said it, and you can say amen right there. Because it's true, it's Bible. Number 9, and we're almost done. Number 9, our maintenance is to be different. And what I'm talking about is our sustenance, our support, our livelihood. The world looks at what they have. I'm talking about their job, their bank account, their abilities, and they rest upon those things. But listen to me, the Christian is to look to God for his sustenance. Give me this day, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. That's what the Lord's Prayer says. And it doesn't matter how good a job you have, how big a bank account you have, no matter what kind of abilities you have, all of that could be gone just like that. Could be gone. You better get your looking to God for your maintenance. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5 says this, says not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I'm glad that my sufficiency is in God and not in man. It's in God and not this world. It's in God and not anything that I might have. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. I'm just crazy enough to believe that. Okay? God's able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. See, it's not about having a bunch and being able to have nice things. That's not what it's about. If you got nice things, I'm not bad mouthing you about that. But listen, it's not about those things. It's not about those things. It's about the Lord in your life. It's about carrying on the good work of the Lord. You know, I could have a lot of nice things. If I didn't sacrifice the way that my wife and I, if we didn't sacrifice the way that we sacrifice, we choose sometimes to do with less, just to carry on the work of God in a greater way. And listen to me, God has not failed to bless that not one time. We've not lacked in our lives. We do not lack. We have. God has made His grace abound in our lives. Do I have everything that I would want? I hope that my desires would be to have what God would have me to have. Okay, that's what our desires are supposed to be. And if your desires are there, listen, God will give you the desires of your heart if your heart's right with Him and your heart is in the right area. And I'm glad that God's able to make all grace abound toward us. But our maintenance is to be different. Don't lean upon the things of this world. Don't lean upon your bank account. Don't lean upon your job. Don't lean upon Social Security, the government. Don't lean upon your abilities. Listen, that Social Security and the Medicare system, it is so fragile. It could be gone just overnight. They could wake up and say, "Listen, China won't loan us any more money, so the Social Security checks ain't coming out next month." Then where is your security going to be? You better understand your security is in God and in nothing else. It's in the Lord God, and make sure that your maintenance is different, that it's found in the Lord. And then last of all, our measurement is to be different. Our measurement is to be different. Our measurement of righteousness is to be different. Listen, it's not the laws of man. The laws of man don't determine what's right or wrong, but the law of God determines. Okay? Mankind can say, "Well, this is okay." But listen, if God says it's wrong, mankind can say it's okay all day long. And all your little friends and all your little family can think that's right, and that they'll back you in what you do and in whatever direction you go. But listen, you walk contrary to God, and you'll pay the price, my friend, because our measurement as a child of God is not the same. Our measurement of righteousness is to be different. It's not other men, but it's Christ. It's Christ. He's our measurement. 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 12, says, "For we dare not make of ourselves the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, we can compare in here tonight. We can compare any number of things between you and I. And you may come out looking real good compared up to me. But listen, I'm not the comparison that you're supposed to be using. It's supposed to be God. And you're not the comparison that I measure up with. Our measurement is to be different. It's not other men, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. We're not wise in doing that if we do so. Our measurement of success is to be different. You know, a lot of folks are looking, well, you know, I just don't want to be like a bunch of folks. I want to be successful. Listen, be a success by God's standards, not by the worldly standards, not by position and power and possessions and the like that this world looks after, but by godly standards. What is the godly riches? Well, it's obedience, humility and righteousness and Christ-likeness. It's the things that God gives. Those are the things that are to be measurement of success in our life. You have a godly life and a godly home. Man, don't be ashamed of that. You know, that's a great success in the eyes of the Lord. So listen, friend, we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed. The word transformed means to change into a different form. We're not going to get into transform tonight, okay? That's where we get our word metamorphosis from. But why do we need to be transformed? Because prior to us coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus, we were all pressed into the mold of this world. And so we need to be transformed. And also because even after we're saved, the world keeps trying to press us into its mold. There's constant pressure. And so in order for us not to be conformed, we must make sure that we get transformed. And the only way to be transformed, we'll look at the renewing of our minds next week, Lord willing. We'll continue this thought. But tonight, listen, are you saved? That's the thing. Are you saved? I hope that you are. If not, please come. Let us help you understand what it means and how you can be saved. And you can understand what it means and you can have it tonight. And, you know, that means scare you to death with all this stuff. But listen, once you got Jesus in your life, once you got God in your life, it's not that hard. It's really not. If you'll live His life, let Him live His life through you. You know, let Him be your master. Let the master be different. You know, if you're saved, does your life resemble more the world or does it resemble Christ? Then once we get it saved, our master must be different. Our mentality or our mindset is to be different. Our makeup's to be different. Our character, composition, disposition, conversation. Our meditations to be different. Our methods to be different. Our motives are to be different. Our morals are to be different. Our modesty is to be different. Our maintenance is to be different. And our measurement is to be different. Listen, are you different tonight? I'm glad I'm different. And you ought to be different. We're to be different in the way that God would have us to be. We're not to be as the world. Be not conformed to this world. Let's bow in prayer. Father, take this message and work it into hearts as it needs to tonight. Lord, I know these things are not easy to receive. I've been on the receiving end many a time. In fact, as I was preparing this message, I was on the receiving end. And I receive it before I give it. And you whip the hound out of me over some things in my own life. Lord, help us to take the truth of Scripture and allow you to use it in our lives to make us the children of God we're supposed to be. And God, I pray that you'd use it tonight. And if there's one that's lost, help them come to know Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. What number are we going? 376.